Hi. Sorry about that little phone tag going on. I did not expect a prompt call at 10 o'clock, and yet here we are.
I literally am always prompt every single time, so I don't know.
And I am always about 3 minutes late.
I thought you were implying that you didn't think I would be prompt.
No. I guess I was implying that. I'm sorry. That's disgusting of me.
We have another episode about you being judgmental.
I feel like we were both being judgmental.
Some of us more than others.
I have sat in last week's episode, and I have decided that it was good that we were making fools of ourselves so that people could see that this is all a process, and being, being woke is a long battle.
You know, we don't want to intimidate anyone with how perfect we are.
Right. And otherwise, yes, we are.
What were you doing today?
What was I doing today? This weekend, I had a good friend weekend, you know? Like, I hung out with some peeps. We did some... My mom sent me an Easter basket.
It's Easter? Is today Easter?
It's not, but she went to India 2 days ago, and I feel like she's maybe preparing for the worst and sent me an Easter basket for a little earlier. Right, a lot of good snacks in it. So we sat in the gardens and we snacked.
Gardens?
Not my personal gardens, but, you know, the campus gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to see Hidden Figures last night. Let me just take one moment to talk up Janelle Monáe, because she is so beautiful.
Please do.
And I have now seen Moonlight and Hidden Figures within like a 2-week span, and she's just so talented.
I fucking love her.
She's great. And of course, Octavia Spencer is amazing.
Yeah.
And then the third one, whose name I do not remember.
Yeah, I don't really know anyone's name, so.
Oh, all right. Well,
not really a name guy.
Great movie. First of all, it passed the test that was like, can women stay on screen without talking about men? What?
The Bechdel test?
Yes. And then it was like, but it was also very heartbreaking, obviously, because you're just watching white people trash these characters again and again. So, but, you know. But great movie.
Did you know, though, that the guy who plays her boss is not a real figure, and he was written in?
Huh.
Which is kind of controversial, because basically they just added a white savior to the story.
Yeah, fucking Hollywood. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was written by white people. That might explain it. Let me see.
Oh, the director is definitely white. I looked that up as soon as I left the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I assumed that those, because they're obviously powerhouses, would not be taking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this is a marker that they took bullshit, but like, I'm disappointed to find out that the story was appropriated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably, I don't really know about script writing. Maybe it was necessary. Otherwise, it would have just been too hard to watch the main character be getting shat on with no hope. But yeah, there's basically just like a man who didn't actually exist who like decides that he's going to like take down the colored bathroom sign and you know. All that.
I was very suspicious of that moment, to be honest. I was like, there's no way there was a dude cool enough to actually, like, do this back then.
And you were right.
Ugh, fucking A. Okay, well, I'm gonna have to do some research and see what the real story is.
Okay.
But I'm gonna pay attention to the amazing acting of those three women.
Seriously, Janelle Monáe is unbelievable.
Well, she was so great in Moonlight, too. Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, what? You have to see it.
I know.
Wait, you are missing out on possibly what could be one of the best films you ever see.
I know. I'm kind of saving it for when I really need it, you know?
You know, that's actually great, because we were talking today about how we can never, like, unwatch the first time. Like, we can never have that moment again.
Aww. Same with Get Out. Yeah. Did you see Get Out yet?
Nope.
What are you doing with your life?
No, I know. I'm getting there. So, I've been watching free movies. So, I've been watching the movies that they show at the Duke Theater for free.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah. So, Hidden Figures and Moonlight were both, like, they get movies about, like, a month or two after they hit theaters.
There's so many perks to being a college student.
Wait, I was actually definitely thinking that because even if I was just working at the... Actually, you know what? I could have driven to campus and just sat in the movie theater, but...
It comes with a lifetime of debt, though, so I don't know if it's worth
right.
it.
Right. But the resources at your disposal, if you happen to work or are affiliated with the university, are, like, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, one more pro to the PhD column. How was your weekend?
It was really good. I forget what I did yesterday because my memory doesn't go back that far, but
sure.
I had a really nice day today. I was I just spent the morning tuning vocals for this like random artist that I kind of know, and then I saw that the artist who I used to work for, Meg Myers, was in the studio with my old boss. So like I used to work for. A producer, like, while he was making her album. I used to work for this guy, Andy, while he was making Meg's album. So I saw their, Meg, like, moved away, and she's back in town right now, and I saw they were in the studio, and their new studio is, like, walking distance from my house. So I was just like, oh, my God, I want to come say hi. And they're like, yes, like, we miss you. Come by. And so I just walked over there, like, a few hours ago. And then they're like, oh, like, we're working on this song right now. Like, do you want to help us finish it? And I was like, oh, like, definitely, for sure. And so they were like, yeah, just stay. And so then I ended up, like, just doing an impromptu, like, recording or writing session with them. And it was so fun.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. It was, like, just such an unexpected way for my Sunday to go.
Damn, that sounds like you're really living the life.
I know. I mean, this never happens. I'm making it sound like my life is always like this. But, right. But yeah, it was super, super fun. And so I just got back and then... I got back at, like, 6:58, and I still managed to call you at 7.
And I still managed to be late, even though all I was doing was catching up with my friends again. I gotta give a shout-out to my girl, Ashley, because she listens to the podcast every week, and she's just this absolutely stunning, brilliant, artistic, creative mind, and she, I think, would really appreciate it if I gave her a shout-out, was basically the bottom line here. besides her wanting it, she's also deserving of it. So.
You don't have any spin. You just want to say hi.
No, she's just awesome, and she deserves a shout-out.
That's awesome.
She, like myself, is an ENFP, and she has a very poetic mind and kind of just, like, has these very deep and complex thoughts and just sees the world in a very poetic sort of way, and I think that she is her own form of brilliance in that regard.
So you guys both missed being an ENFJ like me and Obama and Oprah by like one letter.
Right, but I think that like ever since I started writing, I've really started to own it.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, I'm just eating some beans.
It doesn't beat frosted mini wheat, so.
What? What'd you say?
I said it doesn't beat frosted mini wheats.
Yeah, beans are a lot softer.
Yeah, you can't crunch away.
I also have to only eat canned goods until I get my next paycheck, so.
Oh.
What a life.
Another advantage of the university is that there's a lot of food around.
That's true.
You just swipe it from tables.
Just swipe it. Would you ever eat a box. Would you ever eat untouched food a person leaves on their table at a restaurant?
Sure.
You would?
Well, like, I don't know that I could, like, have people watch me take it from the table.
Yeah, that's the hardest part.
Right, that's the hardest part. But I think that I would have no problem with the food itself.
Yeah.
My friend who did Peace Corps in Ethiopia has assured me, like, when I'm always asking her, do you think this has gone bad? And she's like, no, the real secret is nothing goes bad. They just tell you it goes bad.
Yeah.
But everything can really be consumed. And since then, I've been like, all right.
But, like, my mom has that mentality. And it has definitely fucked us over quite a bit in our lifetimes. My mom's always just like, she just likes to lie. We'll be like, Mom, like, how old is this cheese? And she'll be like, oh, it's just like a week old. It's fine. I just got it. We're like, okay. It's like 2 months old.
Hmm. Well, I feel like for cheese, if there's no visible mold, you're probably good.
Yeah, like oftentimes it does.
Oh, well then don't eat that. I blame
she
you.
Says
I don't blame your
she
mom.
She says you can just cut it off.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I sense that you have lost some trust in her.
No, we don't trust her at all when it comes to expiration dates.
All right, fair.
She's a proven liar.
Okay. Well, as long as we know.
Yeah.
Neat.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about I feel like you and I obviously both identify as the L on the spectrum.
Big L.
And like we speak from our own experiences a lot, but like just listening back on the podcast even, like I notice that sometimes my language isn't always inclusive. Like I just say gay a lot, but we don't talk a lot about bisexuality. And I feel like a lot of it kind of has to do with like you and I have been very immersed in like the LGBTQI world. And so there's like a lot of stuff that I just kind of like know at this point, but I kind of forget that other people don't know. But like, I think we should talk about the bi experience and how difficult it is because you're constantly questioned on both sides. You're questioned by straight people and by gay people.
Yeah. And well, I think that we, so I don't know that you've said anything. I think you say like gay people. I've always used gay as a blanket term, but I suppose that some people don't.
Right.
But I do think it is uniquely difficult, and obviously we can't speak from it from a personal perspective, so we're going to do our best to draw attention to it without appropriating it as our own sort of struggle. Right. Yeah, I do. So I think that for both you and I feel like there was maybe what might have happened is like we experienced like the difference between straight and gay as a very stark difference. So like we went from being straight to being gay. I don't know that we spent that much time really questioning our sexuality that much, except in the experience of actually being with another woman. I think I don't want to speak for you, but I have gathered that to be true.
Yeah, no, totally.
So I think that it went from being one to the other. And I think that experience is not universal.
Right. Well, and also I think that it's probably because not everyone is gay. Like, you can be bisexual and, like, I think part of the issue is that, like, for a lot of bisexual, well, I guess the friends that I know would be mainly women, but, like, for bisexual women, it's a lot of the times, like, if you think you might like a girl, people tell you, like, it's a phase or something like that, which is basically, for everyone who doesn't know, like, anyone who's not aware of this, that's one of the most insulting and, like, undermining things you can say to a person is, like, you know, is this a phase? So, like, questioning people's sexuality is just so pointless, because just because you might not be bisexual or might not be gay does not mean that it doesn't exist. And like there's no, like you're only contributing to the confusion and the erasure of bi people by saying that it's not possible for them to maybe have a crush on one or two guys or one or two girls.
And I mean the idea of a phase in general is like implying that you couldn't just at any point decide that you were in love with any person of any gender. Like,
right.
Anyone can fall in love at any time with someone of any gender.
Or be attracted male, to them.
Or be attracted to them, right. Male, female, otherwise, trans, any sort of like, you know, the way that we talk about gender now, I actually feel like not for everyone, but I'm hoping that we're getting to a place where the way we talk about gender and sexuality is, like, really not in this binary sort of contract anymore.
Right. Well, and so
instead,
I feel like it's almost, in some ways, it's almost easier, for, like, our coming out experience was almost easier because those binaries that you're referencing are becoming a little bit more accepted. Or it's, like, even if you're different, it's easy. As long as people can categorize you, they're cool. People, like, love to be able to stick you in some sort of box.
Right.
So,
yes.
It's, like, upsetting to that, you know, they can be like, oh, yeah, like, that's our gay cousin, Maddie, you know? Like,
We finally know what to do with her.
She's the gay one.
Well, and I think that, like, not knowing is very frustrating for people, and I understand that that is like, maybe a psychological phenomenon that, you must understand the world around you, but mm-hmm. since we are not just animals, and we can be sophisticated, and... Well, actually, you know what? I feel like we're not always raised to be able to appreciate nuance in thinking, so mm-hmm. that, I think, is on everyone's fault for perpetuating that, like, only facts matter. And facts do matter more than alternative facts. However, in terms of, like, our ability, like, for instance, we have such a problem with the idea of death. Like, we cannot understand death, and we cannot understand mourning, and we cannot understand kind of some of the harder aspects of life. Mm-hmm. And we're just not trained or raised to be able to, like, handle these very, very complicated emotions that are not, like, really comprehensible with facts.
Right.
So I think in this particular instance that you were talking about, just to be very frustrated, I guess I could understand the human instinct of it, but we all need to rise above it and just start accepting some things that, like, people, we don't need to put labels on everything. You don't need to understand everything about someone's sexuality.
Right.
Which I think people get really frustrated about. Like, I just feel like there's so many older people who are just like, well, I just need to know, like, what you are. Right. And it's like, no, you don't need to know.
Totally. I mean, yeah, 100%. Old people are the problem. We gotta get rid of these old people.
Well, soon.
And I feel like, so there's one other element to this whole thing that I've been thinking about. And, like, so I had this one incident with, like, a few of my, like, family members that just kind of, I mean, I know that nobody meant any harm by it, but it kind of clued me into, again, this same thing of not understanding. I mean, like, I just, there are a lot of things that I've read about just, like, on Tumblr and, like, having all these conversations all the time about sexuality that, like, are just kind of things you should not do when it comes to referring to LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. And so, like, one of the big, like, stigmas about being bisexual is that, like, you're super promiscuous. Like, that's kind of, like, a do not do is, like, imply that someone's just, like, really promiscuous because they're bisexual. So I was eating dinner with, like, some extended family, and we're talking about a girl who we all know. And I was like, basically, I made a comment being like, oh, like, one of our other friends thinks that this girl is gay just because she's, like, really touchy, or, like, they think that she's, like, a lesbian, or they implied that. And, like, my point was so that everyone would be like, oh my god, like, that's so dumb that, like, to think that that has to do with her sexuality, or, like, to be, like, calling this girl a lesbian just because she's, like, touchy. Because this girl is, like, has had boyfriends her whole life and is, like, I think currently in a hetero relationship. But anyways, I just made that comment, and then everyone at the table was like, yeah, I mean, like, I could see it. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that was the opposite of what I was trying to get us all to be like, that's ridiculous. Why are they calling her a lesbian for that? And they were like, oh, I could see it. And I was like, oh, what? Why? And they're like, just, like, she gets around. Like, she's, like, pretty promiscuous. Like, I could see it. Like, I could see her being, like, maybe bi or something like that. And, like, it was just interesting to me that, like, people, like, weren't aware that that is, like, that that's just, like, a big, like, no-no, or, like, I guess it's, like, not even a microaggression, just, like, an aggression, because it's, like, that's, like, very offensive to me as, like, this lesbian sitting at the table to be, like, this, like, lesbians are people who are, like, really promiscuous or who, like, cheat on their boyfriends, you know, because that basically, like, this girl has cheated on her boyfriend before, so everyone was like, oh, I could see it. And it's, like, really, like, insulting.
With a woman, or just, like,
no,
the fact that
with
she
another
was...
guy, she cheated on her boyfriend with another guy, so everyone was like, yeah, like, I could see her, like, being gay or something, like, she seems, like, really promiscuous. And and I just was like, that's so, you know, like, me, like, I'm a lesbian, and, like, I'm way less likely to cheat on my girlfriend than, like, a lot of other people I know, you know? Like, my sexuality has nothing to do with my promiscuity.
I can attest to the fact that I do not get around. I don't know what the opposite of promiscuous is, but that's what I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if it's just, like, the notion of deviance for some reason has to be explained by, like, by deviance. Of course, I meant that. I didn't mean that in my context. I meant in their context, because I don't really care if people get around or whatever that means.
I think you're totally right. And so I think it's almost like, I think that it has to do particularly with bisexual people too. Like, because the threesome, like two girls making out, like that whole thing is so like promoted in our culture, but like from a male point of view, like it's hot to like, suckers, you know, have girls in there somehow. So like bisexuality is like a turn on for certain people. And it just means that you're like a hot girl who's like more appealing to some guy. As long as you're really hot and you're a girl and you're making out with another girl, then like that's totally cool. Which is just such a weird, I have no idea why that's a thing in our culture. But
what an interesting tool that they use it as, like, both a way to like satisfy themselves sexually and also to belittle someone's identity. Like, very typical of the patriarchy to make it a trapped double-edged sword that just, like, you know, makes it impossible for you to to survive.
Well, yeah, because it's definitely not a thing where women love to watch porn of like gay dudes. Or I mean I'm sure it's a thing.
I think, but that, like, people do, yeah.
No, people definitely do, but that's not like a popular socially part accepted of our culture.
Right.
Yeah, that's not right. Like in movies, you don't see girls being like, yeah, like, make out, guys, high five.
You know? And like, maybe we should be seeing more of that.
Yeah.
No, I think it definitely that aspect is like the fact that it is something that guys should aspire to is one of the big issues. Like, the fact that everyone thinks that they deserve to watch two women make out is baffling to me. But there are so many mysteries about men out there.
I just watched this HBO has a new documentary called the Trans List, I think. Let me look. The Trans List. So it's on HBO. Anyone who has HBO should definitely watch this. Have you heard of it?
No.
So I'm pretty sure The List is like a documentary series, and they kind of just interview a bunch of different people about different things. And so this one was like specifically trans related. So it's The Trans List. It's basically just like, it's like an hour. It's not like a full length movie, but it's just like a short series where they interview a bunch of different like prominent trans people. And it was so great. Like, I learned so much. It was really, really well done. I'm really glad I watched it. I just randomly saw the title and clicked on it. So I highly recommend to anyone who wants to immerse themselves more in any trans media, hear some trans voices, just, you know, see more of that. But so there is this one guy who is like this famous trans female to male. He's a porn star. And it's really interesting because he's like really like macho and buff, and he's like, he looks like he just like totally is like jacked up on steroids, like huge muscles, like lots of tattoos, shaved head. And he said that like growing up, G.I. Joe was his idol. And he like really wanted to look like G.I. Joe. And then he ended up like transitioning, and then he started to get into like the porn industry, and he was like, I know that there's lots of like trans women in the porn industry and people are super into that, but there's no like big person who's like a male with a vagina. And so he was like, I think that I could be like the first one. And then he was like, and of course, like, I started getting cast and stuff, and I just got letters from all of these people being like, I've always like, this is like my biggest fantasy, like I've always wanted to see like a man but who has a vagina. And he said he got just like crazy, like so many, an influx of letters, and he's like this huge porn star, and he won like basically an Academy Award for the porn industry a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that just kind of proves that like people out there, everyone's got their thing, and like some stuff is just like this subculture that's completely hidden from our worlds. And then there's like all of these people who all like happen to like something one way. And it's just so interesting. Like, I had never even heard of it, obviously.
Right. Well, there's a lot of mysteries about the porn industry that I yeah. don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know yeah. they had an Academy Awards.
There's one thing. I wonder what the statue looks like. It lends itself to being phallic already, so I'm wondering.
It does. I'm going to look this up.
Please inform us.
Porn Industry Awards. I don't know. I might get some crazy results.
Yeah, oh, I don't. Yeah.
AVN. Mm. The AVN Awards. Adult video news. Yeah. Wow. The Oscars of porn. This is so crazy. Oh, I've got a picture of the statue. Oh, it's
what
does two.
It look like?
It's two people intertwined. It's like two naked people intertwined.
Like in a amorphous kind of way?
Kind of. Here, I'll send it to you. I'll put it on our socials so you guys can
oh,
all,
great.
You guys can all check our socials right now if you want to see what this looks like. It's Love is a Softball Field on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know anything at all about porn, but I'm sure. I think that I could get into like understanding the industry more so than the content, but you know, mm-hmm. my right. thing is tea and a nice book on a Friday night. So we all have our things.
There was a measure on our most recent LA bill that had something to do with the porn industry. It was like something that was like, do you vote like that it's necessary for porn stars to like wear condoms? Like, do they have to wear condoms on screen or something like that?
Oh.
And so I was like, that seems like a good idea. And then when I was browsing like the like reading about each measure and stuff when I was getting ready to vote, people were like, the wording is like a trick, like don't pick that one. It would actually like not be in favor of sex workers, like it, because there's other wording in here that like fucks them over some other way. Like the regulation is a way for like the state to come in and regulate oh. it, and then like, and then they'd have the ability to like fuck over certain women and stuff like that.
Oh, political so, intrigue.
I know. It was really fascinating.
Huh. Wow. Well, I'm learning a lot about porn today.
Who knew I knew so much about porn? If you'd asked, I would have said I know literally nothing. But here I am.
Yeah, I wonder. So the purpose, I guess like the fake purpose was so that people would feel inspired to use condoms or?
No, I think it's to prevent like diseases from spreading within for the actors.
Oh, for the sake of the actors and actresses.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know. I'm kind of talking out of my ass. I'm everything prior to November 9th is blocked out.
Oh, I see.
Due to sadness and distress.
I gotta say, I watched the Hillary campaign video this week.
Oh my god, why did you do that?
I don't really know. And it was a bad idea. And it was really sad because the video, I just remember watching it and being like, this is it. Like, we're voting for the first woman president. Anyway. And that part of the video that always makes me cry is when Doma gets struck down and everyone is crying because Doma got struck down. I remember that day.
It's going to be crazy that we can tell our kids that, like, Doma was, like, in our lifetimes, like, while we were already, like, gay adults, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be like, what the fuck, really?
Yeah, my friend, this is slightly related, but my good friend, Ashley, that I mentioned earlier, is half black, and when her parents got married, it was illegal for them to get married.
What?
How old are they? Isn't that crazy? Parent age, I don't know. I think it's mostly because they were in South Carolina. I think they're in South Carolina.
That's crazy. I mean, I guess that is like a Jim Crow era law, so maybe like 50s. They're getting married in the 50s.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's something that as Californians we're very far removed from, like that wouldn't even, we wouldn't have registered that was in a recent history. And right. so.
Yeah. Damn, that's
every
nuts.
Time she brings it up, it's just like, oh my god.
There's another amazing movie that just came out called Loving, I think it's called.
Oh, Loving versus Virginia?
Yeah, so the movie is just called Loving, and it's basically right. about the interracial couple that ended up changing the law.
Oh, man, I gotta see that.
Yeah, I know, I really want to see it. It looks really great. So
do you know,
wait,
going back to,
I was just going to say, we've got a lot of movie recommendations starring
That's good, because books
not
can
white
be
people.
Hard. But question, do you know who produced or directed the series that you watch on Netflix?
Oh, The List?
Mm-hmm.
Let me look. No, I don't
know. Did you look up?
Yeah, let me look.
I think that it's good to be in the practice.
Who directed it?
Looking at who is in charge of making and writing and informing the film when you are consuming popular culture.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. It says the director is Timothy Greenfield Sanders and editor Johanna Giebelhaus.
Hmm. Well, we can do some research on that.
Yeah, so Timothy Greenfield Sanders is an American documentary filmmaker. It doesn't look like he is trans.
Well, we can never know.
Yeah. Unless
you're saying based on
You can't just look and know, so. Oh, and then I also, last night, Sheck and I started Transparent, so.
Oh, I was going to bring that up next.
Oh, my God. Look at us.
But is this the first time you're watching it?
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
Oh, it's amazing. But we have
Amazon Prime, so we were like, oh, wait, we just realized that we have this entire world of TV open to us that we forgot
about.
Now,
there's an example of, like, someone who is writing from their own experience, and it's a really great series.
Is it written by a trans man?
I believe that part of the production involved. Hold on, before I really miss
or sorry, trans
report. Transparent.
I know that there is, like, some controversy over the fact that the actor is not trans, and it's like, why aren't we giving trans actors roles that are about trans people?
No, that's valid. Yes, so it's not the writer herself, her father came out as transgender.
Oh. So her perspective of witnessing that.
And that makes sense because the story is about the father coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only two episodes in, so don't spoil anything.
No, please. I won't. Oh, well, you know that's part of the plot, right?
No, I don't know anything. I know nothing. Don't tell me.
Oh.
Oh, you mean that? Yeah, I did. I did, though, when we were... So I just, like, hadn't heard anything about this, and then it starts, and there's, like... two people like waking up. It's like a montage of all these people waking up, and I was like, is he trans? Is she trans? Are those their kids? Which kid is trans? And Shag was like, oh my god, like, just relax for 1 second, like, just watch. Because I didn't know who was supposed to be trans. I thought it was the parents of a little kid, like trans's parent, you know?
Oh, I see. Yeah, the name itself is enough for some accolades.
Yeah,
The name really works on both levels.
Yeah, they crush it with the name.
But I also thought that they... Did they bring Laverne Cox on? They...
I don't know.
No, she just had some... I remember now, she had a lot of commentary on it.
Laverne was in the documentary I just watched, and she's just like,
oh, really?
I just love hearing from her anytime she speaks. She's so great. And it's just like, I mean, we're already like living in an era where we can just accept that like she exists, and that's so awesome that she's famous. But it's like, it's really crazy to think that like 4 years ago or whatever, she was just working like, you know, in some shitty bar as like a drag queen, and everyone was like, you can't get any roles, you know? Like, that's just so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's like this huge star. She really broke through a barrier that like had never been broken.
Right.
And then one of the people that they interview in this documentary is this woman who is a Bond girl, and she was she's trans, and she was just like, she just became a model and wasn't out and had like a pretty successful career. And no one knew she was trans. And then she became a Bond girl because she was, like, so gorgeous and so great and was in this Bond movie. And then some person in the media found out. And then they exposed her. And then she said it was, like, a terrible nightmare because all of a sudden there were all these tabloids and everyone was, like, you know, angry with her or whatever. And, like, it was just very interesting. And it's crazy that that was, like, in the 70s.
Right.
So.
No, it's.
Yeah. Highly recommend. It was really interesting. Learned a lot.
That's good. I'll look up who's on the writing cast here. Found a post, and it was about how Transparent started hiring trans writers, which is really cool.
That's good. It's the least they can do.
Right. Exactly. Since they didn't hire someone for the main character.
They're going to capitalize off of trans stories.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I have a lot of watching to do.
Yeah. So in other news, there's this really cool light bulb that my aunt got me for Christmas. And
oh, okay.
And I was kind of like, oh, thanks for the light bulb. But it's like the most high-tech light bulb ever. And it syncs to an app in your phone. And so you can basically, like, you can turn it on and off from your app. So you can do that in bed. It can be like any color. So it's like a party in your room. You can put on like cool, like purple lighting or like blue lighting. And then it does this thing where you can play music and then it like strobes to the beat of the song.
Oh, what?
It like strobes.
And it just can sync in somehow?
Yeah, it just syncs up to the music you're listening to. It's like,
oh my,
it's like a
God.
High-tech light bulb. It's crazy. It's so cool. I don't know.
How does it work?
We've had a lot of advancements in our world for queer, trans people, for light bulbs.
For light bulbs.
We're living in 2017.
We always gotta tie it back to something that matters less.
That matters less.
Well, I'm happy for you and your light bulb.
Thanks.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I know. Oh, can I do a product endorsement too?
I'm trying to remember what you texted me that you were going to endorse.
Oh.
Sure, yes.
I don't remember what I texted you.
Oh, is it new?
I want to talk about my Allbirds.
It is different.
Do you have Allbirds?
No, because I thought I would be falling into their trap.
No, so Allbirds, I've made a couple Allbirds sales. Just word-of-mouth sales because I'm... I've been learning. One of the things I've learned most about myself through this podcasting experience is how much I love to endorse things, as we all know.
Okay.
So yeah, I've convinced a couple people already to buy these. They're just like the comfiest shoe ever. They're like very, very tech startup-y because they've got like they're eco-friendly. Like they use way less material than a normal shoe, and it's like sourced wool that's like all like, you know, it's like no sweatshops, like everything's cruelty free. And they're like really comfortable. They're really lightweight. It's just like a sneaker and they're made out of this wool. So it's like, but it's really, really soft. And basically because they're wool, you can wear them with no socks if you want, because you can just wash them because like they just wash totally normally. So for people who hate wearing socks with shoes, you can do that. And then you can, like, completely clean them. But I like to wear socks with mine. But they're really comfortable and they look really cool. And everywhere I walk, people are like, whoa, cool shoes. And, like, a few people thought that they were Yeezys because they kind of look like Yeezys.
Gotta get those Yeezys.
But I was like, no, they're definitely not. They're called Allbirds.
No, I see it. I got the Allbirds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I am going to have to wait until my next paycheck comes in to be making any purchases. I went on a brief shopping spree this weekend.
Ooh, where'd you go?
I just went to the mall and got a pair of child's Converse.
Do you wear child-size shoes?
I discovered that I can.
That's incredible. You could probably, oh my God, you could save so much money if you just shop in the kids section.
Well, they actually, like, the Nordstrom place truly sold Steve Madden, like, gladiator sandals for children. So,
great.
First of all, I'm concerned that that is happening. Second of all, like, I don't know why anyone would buy shoes that the child is going to grow out of within a year. But anyway, I am also pleased to know that they're selling actual adult shoes in the children's department.
Yeah, well, I used to do that. I probably can't do it now, but in like high school and stuff, I would still do that where I would buy my workout gear at Target in the children's section. I would just buy like XL Champion brand like running shorts and like sports bras and things and leggings because they're so much cheaper.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
If you're petite like Annie, you could probably still do that.
Mostly I'm petite in my feet.
Petite feet.
I think that's the biggest thing, smallest thing I got from you right now. Mm-hmm. is in my feet, and I'm happy about it. So I also got like a collared short sleeve shirt to wear for summer. I'm officially going to New York this summer, and therefore,
yay,
needed to start bolstering my semi business casual. I really am stressed about what to wear in the office, but
yeah, we gotta get you a gay corporate businesswoman.
I know, but my San Francisco work look is very on point for me, and I just feel like it's gonna be way too hot in New York for me to pull that off.
Oh really?
It's so hot there, yeah, and it's like hotter in this. It's because it's in the city, so it just feels hotter because you know you don't have the outdoors. I'm thinking that if I can climb in the morning and shower right before I go to work, I could wear whatever I want, but I don't know.
You can like play with all the little kids in the fire hydrants.
When was the last time you went to New York?
that's all I know about New York.
I feel like that's like, where did you even hear that? That's what people did.
That's just like a thing. Like, someone like busts open a fire hydrant and then it sprays all up in the air and all the little kids play in it.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, no, it's a thing. That's what everyone does.
No one does that.
No. Okay. Yes, they do. I don't know how you're not getting this. Hold on.
They did it and Do the Right Thing, I think.
What?
Is that what you're referencing? Do the Right Thing?
No, it's just like a thing everywhere all the time. It's like a New York thing.
Everyone sits around busting open the fire hydrants. So my plan.
I just Googled kids playing in fire hydrant, and there's lots of different images from lots of sources.
Are they cartoons?
No.
I was going to ask if they're. Never mind. So my plan this summer, I would like to go on 9 dates.
Wow. Why 9?
Because I think 3 a month sounds pretty doable.
3 a month. Wow. Yes, I love it.
You think I should cut it back? I feel like I'd be very bad at going on dates. Oh, no. Okay, never mind. 5 dates. I want to go on 5 dates this summer.
No, that's good. Once a week plus, you know, whenever you're PMSing, take that one off.
Okay, good. That's about 9.
Yeah.
I think that I'd like to go. I just read today, so in my reading about single women in the world, it was like, let me get the statistic, because it was crazy. I think it was something like 40% of women have never been married in New York.
Wow.
And I just think those are really good odds for me.
You're tapping into a large single population.
I would be interested to find out about it. Just to explore.
That's a pretty surprising statistic.
Isn't it? Hold on, let me find this.
Is it just because there are a lot of young people there?
Never married women made up of 41.7% of the New York City female population in 2010.
Damn.
Never married women are almost half of the female population. So that's like pretty huge. Although that makes sense since people work there and live there to work. But
yeah, but it doesn't mean that they're all single just because they're not married.
I get it. All right. I know the odds are against me.
No, that's like 40% of all the women you meet, you should just ask out.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that because they're in New York, maybe like if I was like, hey, do you want to go out? If they were straight, they'd be like, oh, no, like appreciate you and your lifestyle. But they'd be cool about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, actually, like, I'd be down to go to drinks as friends, but, like, want me to bring my really hot gay friend? And
you'll right, yeah. Exactly. That would be extra cool. That mm-hmm. would take it to a new level. Mm-hmm. I actually, there's a girl in Durham, the closest I've ever come to asking out someone who I didn't know was gay or straight. Nothing happened. That's it. That was many months ago, so. I think maybe I should just start asking out people whether or not I know that they're gay or straight.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And then it might embarrass them, but it also might flatter them if they're like, oh, no, sorry, but thanks.
Yeah, right.
And also, sorry if you're embarrassed, straight person. What a tough life you must have had.
Sorry. Get out of my fantasy.
It must be really hard being straight.
Yeah, that's my response.
Getting asked out by one gay person once.
Yeah, right. I definitely have a, I know some guys that, they think that they're really cool with the whole gay thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, I don't want to go to a gay club because, I don't want to be asked out by a dude. And I'm like, what?
Poor.
And especially as a woman hearing that, women, if we complained every time we got asked out by people that we didn't want to get asked out by.
I know. Seriously. Totally. Yeah,
and people call us whiny.
The amount of times I've been asked out by a male.
So many times.
I remember by all,
so many.
I remember I all mean, two one, of them.
Yeah, twice this year, I think. but that's substantial.
Can we do a brief evaluation? We have some listeners out there who are also recovering from breakups or things like that. Can we do a little evaluation of where you're at emotionally at this time?
Oh my god, this is so rude. I feel like every time I think that we're over it, you like to bring it back. How am I? I am solid. I obviously I will always have fond memories, some terrible memories, but for the most part, I am at peace.
That's great.
Leah will be like, don't worry, her Snap story was so boring this weekend. And I'll be like, yes. Yeah.
That's funny. How long did it take you to feel like a normal person again? How long would you say it literally took you to get over your breakup?
Ooh, okay. Well, so I feel like it is a myth that there is some sort of time, and then if you just go out on the town one night, it's always that TV myth is we're going to get you out there. And right. No, that is the fucking worst, because all you do is go out and be like, that's not her. That's not her. That's not her. Yeah, it sounds like the fucking Are You My Mother book thing where the animal keeps on asking. Yeah, it's sad. And I think that people, one of the worst things you can do for yourself is try to delegitimize the pain that you're feeling. And try and make it why are you making a big deal out of this? You being stupid, but it is a big deal. It's like having someone die in your life. And it's very confusing because you think that you're going to be with someone forever. And then, you are suddenly having to change not just your current state, but your whole worldview about what's going to happen in your life. Mm-hmm. Overall, I'd say that within about the really deepest, saddest part of it was over. I hit the rock bottom 3 months later. Mm-hmm. And I, from there, it was, it doesn't mean it's never going to happen again that you're going to have memories or have callbacks. And I still have moments where I'm like, oh, so for today, I am currently writing another story or essay, I should call it. I'm writing another essay. And I had to find a document that was stored in my email. And then little did I know that I had forwarded the document to my ex. So, it was in the bottom of a thread that I had to go through. And it's sometimes easier to remember, the most painful moments, because I'm like, oh, I'm over that. But then when you see these, very, very small, day-to-day sort of, by the way, are we going to dinner later tonight? Are you still free after that thing? Where are you right now? I'm whitening my teeth in my room right now. That kind of thing. Yeah. That is actually almost more painful. So I don't know if I told you this, but I accidentally opened up my notes app because I was trying to write a note on my computer Little mm-hmm. did I know that the last time I opened my notes app was in November of last year. And it was like, it's actually really funny. It's so sad, but it's really funny. It was like folders of documents. Like it was a to her name folder. That was like messages I wanted to send, but I knew that I shouldn't, but they were just like, I miss you so much. Like I have been trying to, this was easily the most like devastated writing I've ever done in my life. When I can't believe I haven't talked to you. Like I really miss talking to you about these things, like blah, blah, blah. It's really depressing. I just opened it, my app, and it was there. And I was like, oh God, instantly quit it all. First of all, some people, and I know who have broken up with people, still follow exes? No. Like, shut it all down. Delete everything. And even though you're like, oh, no, I want to see. No, you do not want to see. Even just, like, the most, when I see things on Leah's phone that I'm like, oh, God. Like, that is panic-inducing, even when it's the stupidest shit ever. So just delete everything you have. Get rid of it. I think there's a moment, I think, after the darkest part, there is kind of this time. I had a really great spring, and I really enjoyed the girl that I was dating in the spring, and she's really great, and I really enjoyed hanging out with her. But that, so then about almost a year goes by, and I moved back to school, so obviously that wasn't going to work out. And it was almost, I guess it was closure, I'm not really sure. I had to have dinner with my ex, and I think it was one of those things where you're really pissed off because you're like, I'm a year out of it. Why is this so hard for me to have dinner with her? Mm-hmm. And I thought I was doing great, and it really sucked. I think you just accept that it takes a long time, and it's part of the process. And I actually, once I had like a very, very strong reaction to that dinner, I started to like really start to move on in other ways. Hmm. Yeah. And I had my first real crush. Like, the first person that I was like, oh, like, I feel this again. I feel this thing again that happened in the fall. So, like, that's the moment that you have to look forward to, and it takes a really long time to get there. It takes almost, like, a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all to say that whatever people are feeling after a breakup is all valid, and it is very, very devastating, and you should feel validated in that. But there is, I promise you, and everyone says, I promise you, and you think, what do you know? It wasn't the same for you. Mm-hmm. Like my mom trying to tell me, like, I promise you. And I was like, Mom, you don't get it. Yeah. And you just cannot possibly know that what they're saying is the truth until you go through it.
Sounds terrible.
Yes, it does. It is terrible.
Hey, well, thanks for that update. Just wanted to check
No, in. Sure. I know that sounded impassioned, but that was for our listeners' sake. I get some nostalgia, and I will always have some love and tenderness and appreciation, mm-hmm. but I actually am very comfortable right now being single and, like, having it maybe be that way for a while.
That's awesome. So, like, when you have a random, like, thought pop into your head, who do you text?
Well, that's why I am a writer now.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I actually have worried about that quite a bit in my life. Like, do I have to have solitude to be creative, and will that be compromised when I eventually am in love with someone again? Mm-hmm. But well, that's a battle.
One way to find out.
That's a battle for another day, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I text Leah a lot. I have a couple different group chats that I'm in.
I mean, that was a dumb question. Like, obviously, the answer is your friends.
I have friends. I text myself sometimes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, right?
Not me.
No. No, but I'm very, I'm a little nervous for New York in some ways, but I think I'm pretty excited to go on some dates. I think.
I think you're gonna crush it. You want a blind date, like, you would crush it, dude.
Wait, I don't know if I said this on this podcast, but I went on a date in the fall, and Leah said the most, like, the sweetest thing she's ever said to me. Mm-hmm. And because it was Leah, it was very, like, nonchalant and, like, very she almost didn't say it, but I don't know if I said this to you yet, did I?
No.
She was like, I can't imagine if someone went on a blind date with you, because there's just no one like you out there. Like, I can't even believe what that would be like for them to just suddenly, like, get to learn who you are. And I was Aww. Like, oh my God, you softie. Who saw that coming? Leah. My girl. We are planning maybe a camping trip in the summer. We're very excited about it.
Wow.
Coming at you, Northwest.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I saw this really cool Airbnb today in Malibu that's like this teepee in the Malibu Mountains. Looks really incredible.
Are you going to go, or is that too close to home to plan a trip?
No, I'm not going to go. We're looking because we might rent a house for my friend's birthday.
Oh, great.
But I found a teepee, and it looked pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
And it's on a farm where there's a bunch of rescued horses and animals.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm anxiously awaiting your arrival in Durham as well.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to show you around my hood.
Yeah.
And I really am enjoying it here, and I think that you're going to like it, too.
I can't wait to curl up on the couch at the wooden chip pile.
Yep. And
meet the drug dealer neighbors.
Has been... Nope, X that. It has been... The foundation has been creaking, so, like, if the house is still here, it'll be a miracle, but...
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you fit one more person in it?
Probably not in my bedroom per se, but definitely on the couch. I was thinking, like, are you gonna go to dance it up at the wedding and then come home sweaty to me? Like, can I ask you to take a shower first?
I might come home sweaty to you. Who knows?
All right, I'm gonna push you in the shower.
Hopefully you'll have been on the dance floor with me.
We're still waiting to find out.
I want to see that, like, basketball move that you talked about where you, like,
well, if the wedding doesn't go long enough, then maybe we can go hit the town after.
Okay.
Sounds fun. You could hit it before, like, the night before the wedding, because since you don't have to look presentable. Are you a bridesmaid?
No.
Okay, great. Yeah, you don't have to look presentable, so we can go out the night before.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, it's just Mackie and the sister, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, small bridal shower. Bridal party.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Do people do bachelorette parties the night before? Can we, like, get some Branson peeps, hit the town? Oh, my God.
No one.
It just occurred to me that there would be many Branson people in Durham.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Whoa, jarring.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Okay, well, maybe we can get anyone who's not in the bridal party out that night.
Okay, we should definitely plan this off air.
Oh, right. Should we just cut the last couple minutes?
Probably.
All right, cool. Well, I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, I kind of want to get back to my beans, even though they're cold. I feel like I deserve to be eating these cold beans because I'm so poor.
Well, cool beans then.
Oh, God. You know what I used to hate? When middle schoolers would say awesome possum, like, even back then I was just like, that's not funny. Like, I don't know why you think that pointless rhyme is funny. There's nothing funny about saying that. But I would just, like, laugh because I'd be like, okay, I guess everyone's laughing at this.
Oh, well, this is a social commentary moment, if I ever heard one. I have to publicly acknowledge on air, thank you for forcing me to publish my essay online. By publish, we obviously don't mean publish. I have gotten a lot of really positive feedback.
You have?
I have, from the most surprising of sources. Like, a lot of people from high school or that I just came out of nowhere. And
oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Can you send me some of your feed, some of what people have said? I want to see.
It's private. One of my all-time favorite people I don't know that he listens to this, but he is one of my just absolute favorite friends. And I know we're going to be friends for a long time. I've known him since I was 2 years old. And he's possibly the smartest human being I've ever met. And he's so well-read. He just, his very bachelor apartment is just like bookshelves and bookshelves as a young 24-year-old. So he's endlessly impressive to me. He sent me a text and he said, "It's perfect. Don't change a thing." And it was just the sweetest thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I had commented that, like, I wanted to change some of it. But no, he was like, "Don't change anything."
I'm so proud of you. See, you're so amazing. You gotta just, people love what you do. You just gotta put it out.
People love what I do.
Except when it goes on too long.
Right. So, that being said.
All right.
I wanted to public acknowledge that to you, though, and thank you
for, really,
you know,
sweet.
Being a rock star and forcing me to be a rock star.
I'm proud of you.
Yep, proud of myself and you.
All right, I'll talk to you next week.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.